This is the fourth command. We're looking at what God did, that he blessed the seventh day and he made it holy. He set it apart for himself. That's what holy means, to set apart primarily, but then to set apart for God. It takes up a different position than things that aren't holy. It's set apart in a special relation to God, in contrast to the other days. A day that is set apart in a special position in relation to God. And why did God make it holy? Well, it wasn't for himself. He made it holy for mankind, so that they might treat the day as a day that's set apart for God. God didn't set apart the day for himself to treat it as a day set apart for him. He set it apart for mankind to treat as a day set apart for God and for his use. Well, that's what God did. He finished the work of his creation in 6 days. He rested on the seventh day. He blessed the seventh day. And he made it holy. Well, then think about what God commanded. That's the background for this command. Well, what did God command? In essence, God said, copy my pattern. Replicate my pattern. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, your son or daughter, your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. Got to replicate God's pattern, copy what God has done. And it's important to note that verse 8 is the primary matter. The rest is subsidiary to this and serves this. So remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. That's the primary thing. The other things that God commands are subsidiary to that and serve that, so that you can keep it holy. So keeping the day holy, it is primarily a day to be set apart to God. Make the seventh day a Godward day. Make it a Godward day, a day when you reorientate your life to God and you concentrate on God and you let the day be taken up with God as much as you are able. Primarily, it's a day set apart to God. So therefore, in order to do that, do all your work on 6 days. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Get your stuff done in 6 days. And once again, that's a positive command within this. It's a command that we are meant to work. Work for 6 days. Get all your stuff done. You've got 6 days to do it. Part of that is be organized. Get your stuff done in 6 days. But the seventh day is a Sabbath. Notice, a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And that's a better translation, I think, than it's a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In the Hebrew, it's a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Again, it's showing us that it's a day that is Godward, directed towards God. And then no work is to be done by anyone. Although a number of commentators mentions that the wife isn't mentioned. I think she is in union with her husband there, one flesh, as it's been recorded earlier. But on it, you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien or foreigner who is within your gates. No work to be done by anyone. But how is that day to be conduct as a holy day, as a day that is Godward? How is that to be done? Leviticus 23 helps us. In Leviticus 23, the Lord is speaking to Moses, giving a summary of all the special days that the Jews were to observe, the festivals and so on. So it says in Leviticus 23, verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed feasts, the appointed feasts of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies. There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work wherever you live. It is a Sabbath to the Lord. But notice, a day of sacred assembly. Not just social assembly, get together, a good time together. No, it's a sacred assembly where you get together for sacred reasons, for holy things, for Godward things. So it's a day to assemble together, to worship God, to hear from God, to meet with God. And it's interesting that, again, we emphasize it, it's not just a day for not doing your work. Thomas Watson, the Puritan, says, if we rest from labor and do no more, the ox and the ass keep the Sabbath as well as we. It's not just not doing anything, it's actually positively, what are we to do with this day? Well, it's a day holy to the Lord, a day for sacred assembly, but a day when we reorientate our lives Godward. That's what God commanded, a day that is to be holy to him. Therefore, get your business sorted so that you can give the day to God. That's the primarily reason for the resting from your work and not doing any work. Get that done, and then you can give the day to God and make it a Godward day. But then thirdly, well, what did Jesus do with that day? What Jesus did with the Sabbath day. That's one reason we read from Mark's Gospel. But in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, we read that Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. So customarily, Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day for sacred assembly. He obeyed God's law and fulfilled God's law perfectly and faultlessly. He customarily engaged in sacred assembly on the Sabbath to hear God's word. If you read on in Luke, he opens God's word and reads it to them and then preaches to them. He used that sacred assembly for God's glory, to hear God's word and to apply it to God's people. So Jesus use the Sabbath day for according to God's purpose. But then notice, as we saw in Mark chapter 2 and 3, he clashed with the religious authorities of his day regarding the use of the Sabbath. So when his disciples are going through the fields of corn, they pluck some ears of corn to eat. What are you doing? What's unlawful? They are harvesting on the Sabbath. They're working, the Pharisees accused him. And then this man with a withered hand, they considered that healing was work. Can't work by healing someone on the Sabbath. Well, their focus was almost exclusively on what must not be done, making the subsidiary thing the primary thing. Their focus was almost entirely on what you must not do. And they laid down multiple rules regarding that, what you mustn't do each Sabbath day, what was outlawed, what was unlawful. And they came up with crazy rules and legislation. If a house collapsed, you could move enough rubble to see if the person was alive, but you couldn't get them out. See what nonsense they had produced with their rules about what you must not do. So they had concentrated on the subsidiary thing, what must not be done, and had lost sight of the primary thing, what was the day for. So Jesus recovered the day from the human traditions that burdened it. He showed that it was meant to be a beneficial day, not a burdensome day, when God's blessing was enjoyed. And that's why these disciples, when they could eat from the field as they passed through, this man could be healed. It was a day that God had blessed, and therefore it was a day to enjoy God's blessing. Imagine that you've designed an electric kettle, It's a brilliant design. It looks wonderful and it works brilliantly. And you go to visit someone and they're using it for cooking soup. Well, that's not what the kettle's for. And you'd explain it to them and you'd rescue that kettle from misuse and abuse. Well, that's what Jesus does with the Sabbath day. They'd abused it. They were misusing it with all their human traditions and regulations, and Jesus recovers it. Now, you've missed the point. That's not what it's for, about what you don't do. That just serves what you're meant to do. A day for God, a day that's Godward. And so Jesus reminds them that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That's in Mark 2, verse 27. God provided the Sabbath for man's benefit, that he might have a day of rest from his labour, that he might be able to rest his mind, and that he might be spiritually refreshed. It was made for man. And so it wasn't to be a burden and something that man is burdened under. It was for man's benefit. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. It's an amazing claim that Jesus had lordship over the Sabbath. And he could recover its true use as the Son of Man, who was indeed the Son of God, the Messiah. But as the Lord of the Sabbath, he also had authority to transfer it to a different day of the week. And his resurrection appearances, as we discover them at the end of our Gospels, happened on the first day of the week. That first resurrection day, he appears to his disciples at least three times. And then a week later, he appears to them again. And then the day of Pentecost, when Jesus pours out his Holy Spirit, it's on the first day of the week. So by his resurrection and his resurrection appearances, and by the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, Jesus marks off the first day of the week for new covenant believers. And we see evidence of that in the New Testament. And so in Acts chapter 20, Paul is on his missionary journey. And we read in Acts chapter 20 and verse 6. But we sailed from Philippi after the feast of unleavened bread, and 5 days later joined the others at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people because he intended to leave the next day. He kept on talking until midnight. So Paul was in Troas for 7 days. What day of the week did they meet together? The first day of the week was their gathering day for breaking of bread, Paul ministering God's word to them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul says this: "Now about the collection for God's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made." So you're to collect your gifts for God's people on the first day of the week. Well, why would he choose that day? Well, that's the day they met together and could make that collection. And he mentions the point that he'd give the same command to the churches in Galatia as he was now to the church in Corinth and the area. So the Lord Jesus, as Lord of the Sabbath, transferred our observance from the seventh day of the week to the first day of the week as new covenant believers. Well, fourthly then, what we must do regarding this holy day. Well, first of all, I think drawing on that, those New Testament references, we must recognize a specific day each week. It's not just some convenient day or one seventh of our time. It's one day in the week, and the apostolic pattern is clearly the first day of the week. It's the day that we recognize as a Godward day, a day where we engage in sacred assembly, as we are together this morning, and a day that we give to God and use for God. I like the way that the contemporary English version translates Exodus 20 verse 8. Remember that the Sabbath day belongs to me. Remember that the Sabbath day belongs to me, God says. And so we're to assemble with God's people to worship God. We're to engage at other times during the day in Godward activities. We'll read God's word. We'll read godly books. We'll sing godly songs. Use the day. Recognize this day as set aside for God as much as we are able. And then in order to serve that, we will rest from normal weekly work to enable that to happen. So that means that we'll be organised so that we can get our stuff done so that we can give the day to the Lord. We'll rest from normal weekly work to enable the day to be God's and Godward. The preacher Richard Phillips says, Sabbath observing Christians are a sign to the unbelieving world in its mad pursuit of work and pleasure. So as we keep one day set apart to God, that's a witness to people around us. In their mad pursuit of work and pleasure, we'll say, no, there's actually more to life than that. There's something more important than work. There's something more important than pleasure and recreation. There's God. And so we're going to give a day to God as a witness to those around us who at this time of year is about adverts rather than Advent. We'll say no. We'll witness to the importance of God in our lives and his our obligations to him. I think also what we must do is confess our national sin. We began by recognising that in Europe, 36 hours of closure of their shops. What have we done? No, let's have them open as much as we can. We need to confess our national sin and pray for those in authority that they would submit once more to God's wisdom and God's ways. And perhaps we should support a Keep Sunday special campaign for the good of the people of our nation. It will do them good. If they took one day off and orientated themselves Godward. Some of the things then that we must do, we must beware of laying down legislation. That's what the Pharisees did. You mustn't do this, you mustn't do that, you mustn't do the other. No, we'll keep the broad principle. It's a day that is holy to the Lord. And in all that we do, we'll bear that in mind. That will be the thing that governs our activities. It's a day that's holy to the Lord, set apart for him, a day that is Godward. So over the coming weeks, you may go and stay at someone's house, a friend or family. You may go and spend some time at their home. When you get there, you'll give them a piece of paper. This is my timetable. I have breakfast at 9 o'clock, tea breaks at 11, and lunch is dead on 12. And then you won't do that. If you do, you won't stay there very long, and you won't be invited back. Now, as guests in their house, you will conform to their timetable. Well, we're guests in God's world, and therefore we'll conform to God's timetable. That's what God says. Copy me. I worked for 6 days. I had a day of rest. And we're to follow God's timetable. We're to fit in with God's timetable because it's the best and it's the blessed. God's timetable is the best and the blessed one. And we'll benefit from it. So God commands us, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Let's pray. Our God, you are our Creator God. So we acknowledge, Lord, your goodness and wisdom in giving a day of rest. Lord, thank you for the pattern that you established at creation. Lord, give us the wisdom to copy your pattern and to conform to your timetable. Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus who kept this law perfectly. And Lord, we confess that we need such a Saviour, for we have failed. Lord, we've said of every day, this day belongs to me, and I'll do what I want. Lord, please forgive us. And grant us, Lord, your grace. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord, so that we might give this first day of the week to you. Lord, grant us enabling, we pray. Lord, and grant us to have an influence on those around us to see the value of a day set aside for God. Lord, hear our prayers, for we bring them in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.